You. Glad you're here. Love meeting with the Lord and worshiping Him and hearing His voice. And I know that He has something sweet for us tonight. Would you just turn to John chapter 10? And I'm going to have you just hold that spot. Just keep your Bible open on your lap. The voice of the Lord tonight, the wonder of His voice. His voice is powerful. And in Psalm 29, it says that the Lord's voice is powerful. It's full of majesty. It is over the waters. His voice thunders. It breaks the cedars. It divides the flames of fire. His voice shakes the wilderness. It makes the deer give birth. In Genesis 1, it records that the Lord spoke the world into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let there be grass," and there was grass. "Let the earth bring forth living creatures," and living creatures came. The book of Job records that the voice of the Lord roars. On Mount Sinai, the Lord's voice shook the earth. When Jesus came to earth in human flesh, He spoke to the lepers, "Be cleansed," and they were cleansed. To the paralytic, Jesus said, "Arise, take up your bed and walk," and they rose and walked. Jesus came to Lazarus after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and He spoke to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," and he rose and walked. Hebrews 4 says that the word of God is living and powerful. Revelation 19 gives a description of Jesus and His second coming, and it says that out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, and with this sword, He slays an army, revealing the incredible power of His word. The voice of the Lord is powerful. His word displays His power over and over and over again. But the Lord's voice is not supremely used to display His power. But His voice is the means which He has made to communicate with us. So amazing. His voice allows us to know Him. And God's intention from the very beginning was that He would be able to speak to us and us with Him. We get to speak to God Almighty. We get to hear God Almighty's voice. And after He made Adam and Eve, He spoke to them. His words were full of blessing, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. I give you dominion over the plants and the animals." The Lord also spoke a command and warning to Adam. "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The Lord's words were full of blessing and a warning, but there's more. After Adam and Eve sinned and partook of that forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden, you remember that they hid themselves. And we know that they hid themselves because they were ashamed. They knew that they were naked now that they had sinned. But do you know what caused them to hide? It's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Adam heard God's voice. He heard the Lord walking and talking. And I love this. We see here from the beginning that the Lord's voice was full of blessing, had warning, and then the Lord's voice was intended to be heard in the day in and day out relationship that we have with him. He walks and he talks with us. Wow. We continue to see this beautiful pattern throughout scripture, even after the fall of man. Blessings pronounced over and over on the children of Israel if they would obey his voice. Warning if they would not obey. Warning of sin and harm. And the Lord never left them. He continued to speak to them if they would only listen. What love is that? Jesus came and demonstrated the same pattern. His words were full of blessing in listening and following him. He had words of warning against sin, and he walked and talked with his disciples. And I love that it's never recorded in the Gospels that the disciples say, Jesus, what are you thinking right now? Because he would talk. He would tell them what was on his mind, what was his heart, who he was. Lessons and teachings. And we can be so focused as Christians on the blessing that we want to hear from God. And he gives that blessing. He speaks those blessings. But we can think, I just want that confirmation that the Lord's going to bless me in this step that I'm taking. And we can be so focused on the warning that he would give us. I just want to have a closed door, and I would like him to reveal that this was a bad thing too, so I feel good about that closed door. And I think we easily forget about the beauty of him just walking and talking to us throughout the day. Just about life, just about himself, and just about his truths. And in John 10, where you're turned, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we recognize people by their voices, don't we? We can even be in a grocery store, and there can be people all around us, and we can hear a familiar voice three aisles down and say, oh, that's so-and-so. They're here at this store. Recently, Pastor Chuck wrote a children's book, and I have it here, so you can get a little glimpse, because I think it's going to be in our bookstore, on the resurrection. And he wrote this book, and with this book is a CD in the back, and that tells the story, like a read-along. And he asked different, various Calvary pastors to be the different voices of the characters in this book. Well, my dad got a part in the book. And I wish I could say, guess what it was, because he's the angel. And so my mom and dad were over one evening, and my mom wanted us to listen to it, and so Harris Nanny May had the book and were actually looking at it, and she put the CD in, and we were washing dishes. So I was just listening. And as we were listening to the story, you know, the voice would come on, oh yeah, that's Skip Heitzig. Oh, Great Glory is so funny. And you know what? The more familiar that the voices were, the faster you could pick them up. And as soon as my dad's angelic voice came on, I mean, without a beat, I just started cracking up because it's hilarious. And even if there were 100 characters on that CD, it wouldn't take a moment, a blink of an eye, for me to recognize my dad's voice. Well, why? Because I know him so well. I've heard him talk so much over the years. I'm familiar with him. I can recognize his voice. And Jesus says to us, my sheep hear my voice. And Jesus likens us to sheep, and he is our shepherd. And sheep spend their lives with their shepherd, and they grow accustomed to his voice. As dumb as sheep are, they will recognize their shepherd's voice among all the others. And their shepherd shows them the way of blessing, leads them into green pastures. He warns them against predators or dangerous terrain. And he walks and lives with them, talking to them. And the sheep's life is dependent on the shepherd, and they need to hear his voice. And the shepherd knows that. He knows their need. And we need to hear our shepherd's voice. And I am so desperate to hear God's voice day by day. In fact, it is the most favorite thing in the whole wide world when I get to hear his voice. Because God Almighty chooses to speak to us, chooses to reveal himself to us, and chooses to allow us to have part in this relationship with him. It is a wonder, a marvel, a privilege, and a blessing. And I am desperate to hear God's voice. And Jesus said, "And I know them." You know, not all sheep are even alike, just like people are not alike. And the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the one that he only has to say her name, and she looks at him and comes right over. He knows the one that he has to shout to get her attention, and he knows who responds to a firmer tone, a sweeter tone. And our shepherd knows us. He knows our makeup, and he knows how to get through to us individually, and he talks to us differently. Someone might say to you, talking about how the Lord spoke to them, and they're telling you, "I was in this conversation, I was going to open my mouth, and God says, 'Shut your mouth.'" And you'd be like, "God talks to you like that?" He would just say, "Not right now. Hold it right now." Well, because he talks to us in different ways. He knows what we need to hear and how to get through to us. And he also says, "They follow me." And Jesus expects that with listening to his voice and getting through to us, that we will follow him, we will obey him. So the big question is, how do we hear God's voice? Well, number one, the Bible. The Bible is his voice. It is a word spoken. It is his word written down so that we have access to it every single day to hear his voice. When we read his word, we read as though he is speaking directly to us, because he is. This is for us. This is the supreme way the Lord speaks to us. He can also speak through circumstances. And maybe you've had this happen where you're waiting on the Lord to speak to you, to reveal something to you. And you get that phone call, you get that email, or you get that piece of paper in the mail, and you begin to weep or you begin to laugh, and you just say, "There is no way in the world that these circumstances could come together so perfectly. Lord, I hear you. You're amazing. Thank you." And he can just line things up so supernaturally. There is no wonder that it's him. Sometimes he can speak almost in a audible way. I mean, Saul, who then was named Paul on the road to Damascus, was spoken to by Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that was after Jesus was risen, and that was Jesus's voice to him. And there's been times in my life, a few times that I remember, it was almost as though it was audible, that I could truly hear God's voice. And it just caused me to weep. And it's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And sometimes he chooses to speak to us. in that way. He also speaks to us through peace. We can hear his voice by the peace in our hearts. We may head into a situation and everything looks very normal, very fine, and we go into that situation and our peace is so disturbed. We lose the peace that we have with the Lord. And he's speaking to us. That's not what he has. He does not have that road for us. And then on the other hand, we can also have a situation that doesn't look logical in any shape or form at all. And it would not be a natural choice, but we have a tremendous peace about it, a supernatural peace about that situation. And the Lord spoke to me this week in this way, in a situation that in my natural Morgan, I would have been panicking and stressing out, and I had every right to be. And he gave me this supernatural peace about a situation that seemed out of control for me. And what the Lord spoke to me through that peace is that he is in control, that he understands the situation, and that he's working in the situation. The Lord speaks by his Holy Spirit. And in the book of John, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would teach us, and he would bring those things that Jesus said. He would bring the word back to our remembrance. And you can be going on about your day, and this verse pops in your mind, and it fits so perfectly with what's on your heart right now, what you're praying about, what concerns you right now. Or maybe a worship song will come into your heart and you'll begin singing it before you even know the words that you're singing. And then you listen to the words and you think, oh, Lord, that's from you. You're directing my eyes towards you. You're directing me to your truths. And he speaks to us in that way. There are hindrances to hearing God's voice. There is a part that we play in it. And a hindrance to hearing God's voice is my own will, wanting my own way. And if I want my own will and I want my own way, I'm going to have a very difficult time hearing the Lord's voice. And remember a few weeks back when we looked at decision making and we looked at that wisdom sifter in the book of James, and it said that if you have self-seeking in your hearts, that confusion will be there. And many times, the confusion that we may be in hearing God's voice is because we have a very strong will in that situation. So we can say, I can't hear from the Lord. I don't know what he wants to do. And maybe it's a long time that you're waffling back and forth. And it could be that you need to just wait on the Lord, but it could be, and what we need to ask ourselves is, what do I want in this situation? Be honest about it. Because if I have a strong will, a strong way in that situation, am I just waiting to hear the answer that I want to hear from God? And then I'll know, oh, that's the Lord. But maybe he's speaking to me and I just don't want to hear what he has to say. So are we surrendered? Are we open to hearing what God has to say? Or are we waiting for the answer that we want to hear from him? There are times that I miss the Lord speaking to me because I'm waiting for him to speak to me in a certain way. I kind of have favorite ways that he speaks to me. And I have normal ways that he speaks to me on more occasion than other ways. So I grow accustomed to that. And he shakes it up. He shakes up my faith. And he reminds me that it's not a formula, but it's waiting on him. It's about a relationship. And so times that I think I'm waiting for him to speak to me and I'm missing what he's saying to me because I'm looking at one way that he's going to speak to me. And we have to be careful about that. Sometimes we hold on to this and we say, I want a verse to confirm that. And he has given us peace and he has lined everything up for us. And he has confirmed it through other people. Or vice versa. But we don't want to put those, have our own way and our own way that we want him to speak to us. Or our own will in the situation. That is a great hindrance to hearing God's voice. Disobedience is a great hindrance to hearing God's voice. We'll always have access to him speaking to us because we have God's word. But we cannot expect that he will speak in a supernatural way to us if we are not already obeying what he tells us in his word. And do you remember the account in the book of Acts where Philip went to the Ethiopian and the Ethiopian was in the chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah? And Philip came up to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And he explained the scriptures to him. He believed and he said, where's the water? I want to be baptized. And this life-changing experience happened through Philip with this Ethiopian. But do you know where that began for Philip? An angel of the Lord came to him and told him to go south along a particular road. And the word says that Philip arose and went. He obeyed the word of the Lord. Then the word tells us that then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. It was Philip's obedience that allowed him to hear the Spirit's voice, which led him to a life-saving, joyous event. So we must be in obedience to the Lord. We must obey him in the little things, what we think is little, and in the big things. He has just worked in my life in this area. And I'm going to say something really embarrassing, but it has truth to it. Everyone has their thing, right? If it's their hair, if it's their lipstick, if it's their eyes or whatever. And I have this thing about putting on my mascara and my eyes, and it probably only takes 10 minutes, but there's a certain way that you do it. And sometimes if it doesn't work and you have good days and bad days. And so, I was just not liking, you got the magnified mirror, which is so dumb, right on your eye, and you're doing it, and no one's gonna look at you that close, but that one's supposed to go over. So he said to me, stop, that's enough. And I don't know how to explain it, but this was really annoying. And I wanted to move that. And I did. I disobeyed. It was a Sunday morning. It was time to go to church. And I disobeyed him because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Total sin. Because it seemed like a very little thing. An eyelash. But on that day, I really needed to hear from him in a big way. I really needed revelation from him. And it didn't take to the afternoon for me to get the lesson. It was pretty immediate. And he wanted me to just listen and obey his voice? Am I looking for answers from him? Or do I care about what he says and what he wants me to do? And how can I ignore something like that and then ask him to reveal something to me so I can go and do this? And he showed me that I had that all backwards, and he made it a lesson, like a life lesson for me, for sure, of just listening and obeying no matter what he says. If he tells you to pick up the trash, pick it up. You don't leave it there when he tells you to, and then go in your prayer closet and ask for him to answer this prayer and speak to you in this way. It's really important. Another hindrance to hearing the Lord's voice is busyness. And in this day and age, we have every option of media and noise 24/7, all of the time. We could have events and noise and busyness. There is work. There are children. There is family. There is ministry. And there are necessary things in order to just live. And I homeschool my children, and then I take them out of the house to different classes, and I have appointments, and I have scheduling, and ministry, and food, and taking care of everything. And I often think at the end of the day where I feel like I bat my eye and it's 7 o'clock. And I just think this is too easy to have happen. You have to fight. You have to fight for quiet time. It's not going to happen anymore for any of us without fighting for it. And it's important to quiet ourselves so that we can hear the Lord. And busyness can be a real great enemy, a real great hindrance. If you like to be busy all of the time and give little or no quiet time to yourself to listen to the Lord, you need to ask yourself if you're hiding from something. What is it you're afraid of? And it saddens me to say that there are many Christians that do not really want to hear from the Lord. Some think that they will hear the Lord. If they do hear the Lord, he will correct them about something, and they don't want to hear that, so they keep themselves busy. But that's what the world does. We want to hear God's voice. And the tendency with this person is they will stay busy and they'll serve the Lord. But when there comes to a prayer meeting or sitting quietly and hearing from the Lord, it makes them very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Why? Because that heart isn't surrendered, ready to hear what God wants to say to us. We have to be careful about busyness and check our hearts in that way. Another hindrance is the lack of faith. It takes faith to hear from the Lord. We must believe what Jesus says when he says, "My sheep hear my voice." He just said it. So that means that each one of us in this room hear God's voice. Absolutely. We hear it in his word. We may be growing in the other areas, but we hear his voice. And we have to trust that the Lord isn't trying to make it difficult. He's not tricky with his voice. Sometimes we can think that it's this tricky thing, and it takes kind of skill to hear from him. And this is probably the biggest lesson with faith that the Lord has taught me in hearing his voice, because it always takes faith for me. Sometimes greater faith than others. But I remember in my early 20s, being in a women's prayer group, and it was kind of my first time in that particular setting. And the Lord, there were many occasions, it was like a year of him really teaching me about listening to his voice. And he would say, "Pray." I would say, "About what?" "Pray." I'm trying to think of, okay, what do I pray about? And he would sometimes lay something upon my heart, and I would think, I don't know if this is the right group. I mean, I don't know that you really have that. I would lean on my own understanding. And then what would happen is I would hold on to that thing that I felt like he wanted me to pray, or it was a time of sharing. And someone else, I would skip 3 seconds and someone else would jump in with the exact same thing. And my heart sunk because I missed out. I missed out on just hearing the Lord's voice and communicating what he wanted communicated. That's a terrible feeling. And I got the lesson because I want to be a part of that. And I knew that it hurt the Lord too. And when he speaks to me like that, it takes faith every time. There may be something that he wants supernaturally shared and he'll just say, go. Okay, you've given me 2 words. Can we get like 3 sentences and like wrap it up and have it all make sense? But that's not what he said. And so it takes faith to just listen, to know that it's him. And he teaches us that individually. And that's something that he has taught and is teaching me. A very common question among Christians is, how do you hear the Holy Spirit talk to you? We want to know how. We want that. It's a beautiful thing that God has for us. And something that really has helped me throughout the years is realizing the truth of who I am. The Bible says there is nothing good within me. Nothing. Nothing good within me. So if I have something good come upon my heart or upon my mind to do good for another person, why would I ever question if that was my thought? How could it be me? It's either God's work in my life or it's the prompting of his Holy Spirit. So I just began stepping out and having faith that that was God. How could that be me? Write the note. Say that to that person. And I began stepping out in that way. The Lord's message tonight to us is very, very simple. And he wants tonight to be really simple. His sheep hear his voice. You hear God's voice. It should be a normal thing for us to hear from him. We shouldn't be surprised when he speaks to us. And the Lord isn't tricky, and he doesn't want to make this difficult for us. Number 2, there is no formula to hearing the Lord's voice. Wouldn't you love that? I mean, that's what we look for. How do we do this? And we'll do it. How do we hear God's voice? But if there was a formula to hear from the Lord, then we would easily rely upon it, wouldn't we? We would use that formula. We would look for answers to our questions. We would look for direction. And we would begin thinking of God talking to us as about my life, about my requests. It would become more of a mechanical and really a self-reliant exercise. And we would forget who we're hearing from. If we only think of hearing God's voice in reference to wisdom or an answer to a problem, then we're missing all that God has for us in hearing his voice. Because he wants to reveal his heart to us. He wants to walk and talk with us throughout the day. We just need to trust that he will speak to us and be ready to listen. So the question in the soul searching to us tonight is, do we want to hear his voice? Do we want to hear whatever he wants to say to us? Is there anything that is hindering us from hearing God's voice? And do we expect not only to hear blessing from him, warning from him, but to just expect to walk and talk with him throughout the day, just to hear from him? We're going to spend some time now just quietly listening to the Lord. And I encourage you, if you have a paper and a pen, to write down anything that the Lord would speak to you tonight. And some of you are used to sitting before the Lord and used to hearing the Lord. And some of you, this could be the very first time, or there's all different situations, but he wants to speak to us. So what is he going to say? Maybe he'll give you a verse and you can turn to it or jot it down. Maybe he will give you a blessing. Maybe he'll give you a warning. Maybe he will just say one word to you. Just wait on that word. Lord, what do you want to say about that? In the book of Samuel, you remember Samuel and Eli? And Samuel was in bed and he heard his name called, Samuel. And he said, "Here I am." And he thought it was Eli and went into Eli. And Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." And he heard his name again, Samuel. And he went into Eli, "Here I am, you called me." He said, "I didn't call you." And this happened three times. And Eli realized, oh, the Lord's speaking to Samuel. And Samuel had never heard the Lord before. The Bible says he did not know him and did not know his voice yet. And so Eli said, "Samuel, go back down. When he says your name, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And that's what we're going to say tonight. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. What do you want to say to us, Lord? Our ears are open. Song of Solomon 2:14. The Shulamite said to her beloved, which we would say to our beloved, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your countenance is lovely." Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a speaking God, that you choose to speak to us. Thank you that you have made us your sheep. You have made us your people. And you have made us to know your voice. And Lord, we say tonight, speak for your servant hears. We want to hear what you have to say. If you know these words, just go ahead and sing along with me. Whisper in my ear, tell me what you want of me. Whisper in my ear, I will obey. Tell me softly, I'll try to understand your words of love and your command to keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. This is my prayer. Make it my strong desire that in my secret heart no other love competes, no rival throne survives, and I serve only you. No rival throne survives, and I serve only you. In Jesus' name, amen.